Hey everyone, welcome back to the program. Welcome back to the Bible Catholic Channel here on YouTube. My name is William Hemsworth. It's been a while since we've done a live stream, you know, because of my new work schedule and all, but I'm pleased to have friend of the show, J.M. Kramer, founder of the Lego Church Project. How you been, man? It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
It has been an interesting season. It has definitely been interesting.
Yeah, so how has the season been with the project?
Been a lot better than last year. I had a chance right before Thanksgiving. I had a chance to go visit one of my favorite parishes up in Bay City, All Saints Catholic Parish and School. Their St. James and St. Boniface campus, Father Jose over there. I had a wonderful time visiting with everyone. It's always fun when you get to go visit a parish community that is so active and so loving of each other, and that was very much apparent while I was there. So,
oh, good, that's great. Yeah, I know. I see your post on Facebook and Twitter. You're doing a lot of great things, a lot of great displays. So, I know our topic today isn't necessarily about the project, but before we get into our topic today, which is about the subject of transportation, which I know is something you're very passionate about.
Very.
Any plans for the upcoming season, or are you still thinking that over?
Right now, I am finishing season 22. I've got about another 3 or 4 weeks left in that particular part of the season that I'm doing before I do teardown. And then I'm going to be starting to collect the parts that I want to get. So in middle of February, early March, I'll start building season 23, which will take probably about 2.5 months again, give or take. That's going to keep me fairly busy in addition to a couple other things I've got coming down the pipe. With other media opportunities. It's been a rather interesting week.
Yeah, speaking of that, like, oh man. So you said, you talk about an interesting week. So I think I've seen something about the project on Catholic News Agency
and National Catholic Register. They picked
National
it up.
Catholic Register. I mean, this is great stuff. I mean, I'm so glad you're getting this publicity for your project. But all this kind of leads into this other topic that you're very passionate about. Now, obviously, over the past year, and you've said this before in one of our private messages, you become kind of this disability advocate. Can you explain that? Like how the project kind of morphed into that?
What I've been saying lately is that the project allows me to open doors to conversation. People take an interest in what I'm doing, and then they learn more about what's going on with it. And, it's something that I enjoy because it allows me to bring up issues that most people may not think about. They may not even realize that is going on, especially with the issue of transportation in particular, because it's something that I had to contend with. Unfortunately, our churches are grand and amazing and very welcoming, but at the same time, we don't always provide a lot of resources. Whether it be due to limitations of time, not enough volunteers, or unfortunately resources, such as money, liabilities, and whatnot. And it's also, to me, going into the issue of transportation in particular, an untapped tool of evangelization that we're really, really not doing enough of.
Yeah, definitely. Now, You wrote an article about this. It first appeared on Where Peter Is, and then Mike Lewis over there, and then yourself. When I asked if I can put it on my blog on Patheos, both of you were like, yeah, fantastic. Let's go ahead and do it. And for those that are interested, I have the link to that article in the chat. What are some things that we can... You mentioned transportation as a source of evangelization. I guess how so? Because a lot of people that... I guess to have their own transportation, they don't think of that at all. How is transportation a source of evangelization?
Well, it's allowing someone who may not necessarily have an easy way to get to Mass, take part in the faith more directly. Every time, whether that person is someone relatively young like me, who does not drive for various reasons, or even if you have someone who's elderly, who really enjoys that community, that sense of belonging, when you have an opportunity to do that, you're sharing the faith through your actions. Everyone can be an evangelist, even in the smallest of ways. That's one of my things that I really believe in. because you are doing more than that. You're planting seeds of faith in people who otherwise may be having a rough time. And to be able to take part in that, to be able to be at the church in person, for some people, that may be the only time that they leave their place for any extended amount of time. And that can be bring a lot of joy to our hearts. I certainly know for me, from my own experience, there have been times where I don't leave the apartment very much for various reasons. And getting to Mass, it refills the soul. It renews the soul. Yeah. And gives us a chance to enjoy life for a little bit.
Now, what would you say to someone who says, you know, because since COVID started, a lot of parishes are streaming Masses or putting recordings of them up. What would you say to somebody who says, well, they're live streamed, why can't you just do the live stream? And by the way, I'm not disparaging the live streams. They're there for a reason, that they fulfill a need. But
yeah.
What would you say to those who say, well, isn't the live stream good enough?
Because it does not work for everyone. And I go to myself as an example. I have sensory issues. I have attention issues. I cannot sit at a computer screen or a TV and watch the Mass. There are too many worldly distractions around me. And it is my feeling that for me, in order for me to take part in the Mass, I need to be there in person. I need to be able to experience the sight and the sounds of everything. That's just my rather unique take on things. And for me, I could not watch it. I tried. During the pandemic, when the parishes were not having public Mass, Easter Liturgy, they had it, Diocese of Saginaw had it on TV. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't stay focused. I had too many things around me. Being inside the church, it's me and God. If I'm distracted, I can look at the stained glass. I can look at different things inside the church, but I'm not on my phone. I'm not grabbing whatever thing I happen to have at my desk, whether it be a transformer or a fidget spinner or stuff like that. So, yeah, it's like for me in particular, I had to be there in person because, as I said, once again, it's the live streaming, the television Masses are great for some people, but it is not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
Yeah, not only that, and again, I'm not disparaging the live streams.
No.
Especially for those that are shut in, this is a great way to be connected to the community. But at the same time, you can't receive Holy Eucharist through the computer screen.
No, you can't.
Okay. Now, people may come out and do that if the parish has enough volunteers for that. Now, John, another objection that I may see to the whole issue of transportation is cost. What would be your answer to that? Because I know that's a big thing for a lot of parishes, because giving is down with the pandemic.
Well, I think the simplest way to solve the issue of transportation is to pull the parish to see who would be interested in helping out. Find the volunteers that way, and then keep a list. So if someone comes up to the people within the parish, say, "Hey, I need a ride. How do I do that?" Then they can try and contact other people within the parish, make that a little bit more easier, a little bit more accessible. And once again, a lot of it tends to also go down to the issues of liability and stuff. Our society is very, very prone for lawsuits. I mean, you've got guys like Jeffrey Figer who make their living on lawsuits at the drop of a hat. And that's part of the problem, too. So a lot of people are kind of hesitant to make those resources available because they're afraid of being sued. But at the same time, though, to me, it kind of sends indirectly and probably unintentionally sends the wrong kind of message that, we're fine. We're a welcoming parish, but only if you have your own way to get there.
I got to put this comment up. It just came up in the feed. I think you get a kick out of it.
Tom, I'm sorry, but I just laughed at that a lot harder than I should have. But you're absolutely right.
So did I. I thought I had just had to show it. Thanks for the laugh, Tom. Appreciate it. Oh, man. Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah, I'm not disparaging it. For those that are shut in and can't get to it, I mean, it's an alternative. But There's no substitute for being there.
But at the same time, though, it is also important to give everyone who desires to be at Mass in person a fair and equal opportunity to do so. And for me, the way that that works out is I have friends in the parish, and these are people who I've known through a long time that I was able to help out, able to establish those lines of transportation. But if you're relatively new to the parish or even relatively new to the faith, you're not going to have those kind of connections. You're not going to be able to find the right people because you don't know who to ask. And I've been caught once in a while where my rides have, for whatever reason, have had vacations and stuff. Life comes up. And even sometimes I've been left scrambling more than once, but I pinch hit, do the best I can. If we had a more consistent program, even a framework that was established, consistency between the parishes, we could probably solve some of this problem. But the other bigger problem, the issue at hand is that it is an issue that most people don't fully realize exists. I've run into many people in talking and sharing the articles and talking about the issue. One of the common threads is, hey, I didn't even know this was an issue. Well, now you do. What can we do to solve it?
Why do you think it's something that's flown under the radar?
Because they don't see they do not see the need that is present before them. Whether especially like when you have someone who's elderly, they don't have family, they want to go to Mass. Unless you're around them constantly, you're not going to realize the need exists. We had a parishioner over at Mount Zion who was elderly, and my parents used to bring her to Mass all the time. Same with one of the other family members that lived in that same general area. We used to take him to Mass all the time as well. But they had people, they had a community that they could rely upon to help them. And I think it also goes to a deeper issue, the fact that a lot of our parishes are not really big on community. We have our small little circles that we hang out with, but we don't expand that circle to include everyone. And that's part of the challenge as well, because we don't know who we sit next to at Mass most times.
That's interesting. Yeah, that sense of community. You know, I've been studying through the New Testament lately. For those that don't know, I'm a kind of a Bible nerd. And one of the things that pops out is that whole sense of community. How they helped each other. And don't get me wrong, there were some struggles and everything, just I'm human. But that sense of community, is that something, in your view, because I don't know, you're in Michigan, I'm in Arizona. It's two totally different places. Right now in Michigan, it's probably freezing here. It's going to be 74 degrees today. Two different things, okay? Sense of community in 2019 versus almost 2022 now. Has that sense of community gotten worse? Has it improved? How's that been like?
I think the pandemic really did a major number on our sense of community. We became, for lack of a better term, afraid of each other. The virus kind of became this overreaching thing where we were afraid to even see someone face to face. And I think it has made us kind of hesitant to do more for those around us. And I'm not saying that that's done on purpose. I'm not saying that there's any maliciousness to this. I think, though, that overall, our parishes have lost their sense of what it means to be community. There's a small prayer community in Flushing, Michigan, called Mount Zion that I've been affiliated with off and on over the years. And they are a good example of what it means to be community, of what it means coming together to help each other out. When my parents moved down there 25 years ago from Saginaw, we had the community chipped in to help us out. They helped us move they helped unpack things. They helped get things set up. We were relatively set up in our place within a day, thanks to their help. And I think that that's something that we just don't, we're content to be islands among ourselves, but we're kind of afraid to branch out. We're afraid to make new friends within the parishes. And I think that that's what fuels this issue of of transportation because we're basically strangers to each other. We're not willing to talk to each other. The only reason why someone like me is able to have a ride to Mass is I've been able to make friends along the way. But for someone who is very embarrassed about their disability to begin with, and if they're like a complete stranger to the parish, they don't know who to talk to. They don't know who they can trust. And sometimes the bigger issue isn't so much the answer of no. It's asking for help and not getting anything, any response, that silence. That can be more harmful than anything else.
I could see that. You know, you're asking for that help and it's just deaf silence. Like, does anyone care? Is that kind of the response? Like,
yeah, exactly. Does anyone care?
That's huge.
And we can turn a lot of people away from the faith by our attitudes. If we treat the stranger who comes to our door with open hostility and judgmentality, that's a soul that we've lost. We are not honoring Christ. We're not doing something for the least of us. We're doing something for ourselves. And part of the highlight within that article is talking about this issue and trying to bring it to more light. And what the next step is, now that we're starting to talk about it, what can we do to change this? Can we get the Knights of Columbus involved? Are there any other Catholic charitable organizations who might be able to help fill the void if the parishes themselves have their hands tied on the diocesan level? And that's where some of that comes from. The diocese may have the rules in place that prevent parishes from taking on that liability and risk, even with coming up with a list of names. Are there any other charitable organizations within the church that might be willing to step in and minister to people like me who are in need? How many elderly in nursing homes would love to go to church in person but don't have a way because they don't have friends, they don't have family? A lot of families now don't have their children in the church anymore. Or worse, you've got an elderly lady or in person in the nursing home, and they don't have those connections. But yet they have this desire to go to the Mass, but they don't have a way to get there. They don't know who to talk to. And you certainly can't call up the parish to ask for help because they don't have any answers for you. And that's part of the challenges that we face when it comes to this particular issue specifically.
Right. Now, there are some parishes, like my parish, for example, we're blessed to have kind of a, I guess you can call it a minibus. It seats like 20 people or so, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And some of the guys from the Knights of Columbus, they go around and pick people up for 9:30 Mass. It's one Mass, but at least there's something being done there.
Yeah,
and and in Tucson, we also have a bunch of services for the elderly, like Sun Van, for example, where they can call. That's the bus line, and they'll send a van out to pick them up and drop them off somewhere, etc. For parishes that don't have options like that, or maybe aren't in an area that has services like that, what can be done for this issue?
I think the big thing would be looking for volunteers, looking for people who would be interested in helping out, keeping some names together, and that way if someone asks to call the parish office and say, hey, I'd like to go to Mass, but I don't drive, how do I get here? Then they can refer them to one or two people on that list who might be available based on where they live. I know for me, in my particular case, I'm centrally located. I'm like about, I'd say less than half a mile from my church. But I'm also in close proximity to at least two other parishes in the area. So if there was like a bus service, if they picked one church where they would gather a bus together to go to one church for one Mass, that's one Mass that most people wouldn't be able to get to otherwise. I mean, right. And I don't know how it is in your church or in your diocese in particular, but a lot of our parishes only have the one Mass on Sunday. Our church is combined with another parish, and we've got two Sunday Masses, but one at each site. So it just kind of depends on what the logistics are. And it's a challenge. It is a challenge because you can talk about the issue a lot, but at some point we have to try and find a way to turn the talk into a little bit more concrete action and come up with some kind of a framework to put things out there a little bit more, I guess.
Right. So you mentioned volunteers, and the parish could put together a list. what would be your recommendations maybe for, maybe there's a parish rep listening here and they're interested in what we're talking about because maybe they've seen the need. In your view, how do you think that they would maybe get start this program off, get it going?
I think that a lot of these parishes have their own internal councils. And I think that through their ministry teams, they can come up with the idea of what one plan that works for one parish may not work for another one. So I think that if they can get some guidelines together and hash out the issues of timing, issues of transportation, how are you going to get someone there? Obviously, you may have to take into consideration the kind of vehicle. If you've got an elderly person or even someone like me with mobility, you're not going to want to try and climb into someone's truck. Yeah. It does not happen very easily. I've done it a few times. Not fun. But yeah, once again, you got to take into considerations who is asking for help, take into consideration what kind of vehicles, and who else may be traveling with them. I don't mind traveling in a group to get to church. I've done it a few times. It's not that big of a deal for me, but then again, I'm fairly flexible. If you got someone in a nursing home, take into consideration where they're at, how their mobility is. A lot of us with disabilities have some underlying mobility issues. I do. May not look it sometimes, but I certainly have my challenges with walking, and that's something that has to be taken into consideration as well. But if they want to start at the ground level, talk among yourselves to see where the need is at and maybe put the word out that to try and get a feel for how many people you may actually have. If people realize that, oh, I can go to this church I can get a ride to this church for a mass, that might open some more doors. I know our attendance has certainly been suffering, and part of it is because we're not evangelizing.
Well, and part of it, and I say this as a volunteer at my parish, and I don't know how many other volunteers may think this, but if there's a program like that where people are able to be transported to mass, it may help with some of the volunteer shortage that we actually have.
Yeah.
They may get more involved if they could actually get there. Okay. Now, John, I wanted to talk to you because you've talked about this issue a lot over the past couple months. You were on Matt Swaim's show, the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN. I know he asked you about it. And only I know he did because first he asked me to come on. I'm like, wait, no. Because no, John wrote the article. I just happened to post it on my blog. You need to talk to him about this. And he got a good laugh. So he talked to you about it. And then, of course, the article on Where Peter Is on my blog, and you've had all these other things on CNA. Have you seen any movement on this issue since you've been getting on these other platforms?
Not a lot yet, okay. But sometimes it is not. Sometimes the movement that we're looking for can be about as small as a mustard seed. The parable of the mustard seed really comes into play on this. Because of the fact that at this point, now that I'm bringing this issue to light and the various platforms that I'm talking about, people are starting to think about this a lot more, and that can do more than any actual action. I've even had my own parish priest, Father Bill, over at Christ the Good Shepherd. He's even made comment about the fact that I've been talking about this issue a lot. If you're getting people starting to talk about the issue and starting to realize that there may be an underlying problem here, that will open the doors. It may take a little bit longer than we prefer, but everything is in God's timing to begin with. And the fact that I've been able to have this opportunity to talk about the issue at hand, and keep in mind, I love talking about the LEGO Church Project. That is something that is very important to me, and I'm very thankful to all my fans and supporters who have followed me, especially recently with the not only with the CNA, but also National Catholic Register picking up. I'm really blessed on that, but I also want to use my project as a way to bring light to some of these issues, and transportation is definitely one of those ones. And as you know, I've been talking about this for many years. This is not the first time it's come to light, but this has definitely been one of those times where it's come to more attention, and I'm really thankful for that because it means that I'm doing something for the Lord in all this. That's the key for me in what I'm doing.
Now, I have to ask, because with anything, with any good feedback, sometimes there's always some detractors. Have you run into some detractors on this issue?
Not so much. I think the main ones that you tend to run in, well, like you said, the people who say, oh, you can just as easily watch it on TV and such. But once again, when you got severe sensory issues like I do, that is not gonna work. I'm sorry. If anyone wants to find out more about some of the issues that we face, feel free to ask us. I mean, I'm pretty open about it. I've had no problems talking about some of the challenges that I face, both from the standpoint of the mobility, but also some of the social interactions. I mean, especially with the sensory ones. The sensory ones can be even more problematic because that affects everything. Light, hearing. You'd be surprised as to what can make you too distracted to see what's in front of you.
Right. I can't imagine there'd be too many detractors on getting more people to mass. I can't imagine that'd be a problem for a lot of Catholics. We welcome it. Like, bring them on. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get them. Let's get everyone here. John, is there any other words you want to share with our audience about this issue?
I think the transportation is definitely an overlooked issue, and I think that it is something that we as a parish can start to look at a little bit more. The answers are not going to be immediate to solve the problem at hand. There's a major uphill battle on this because of the fact of our society in general is geared towards liabilities and such. And some parishes are legitimately afraid of being sued. There's no question on that. I think that though that there's definitely a solution moving forward, and I'm just not fully sure what path that will take. And it may take more than one path to reach the same goal. I'm certainly hoping that by talking about this issue that I can at least open the doors to conversations and to get people thinking in a much more broader terms. Those with disabilities, unfortunately, are often overlooked in a lot of the discussions that we have about parish life. There is an unrealized need that is there, and we're talking about it, but it's nothing's being done right now. But that doesn't necessarily mean that things won't be done down the road. But it does require a lot more patience than some of us have, and I'm certainly not known for my patience.
Well, in God's in his time, right? Because
Amen to that.
people are talking. I see whenever you post about it, there's a lot of retweets. So people are talking about it. People are getting more sympathetic to it now that they're aware that there is an issue and something that has to be done. And so, John, I thank you for coming on, talking about it. If you're interested in the article, check it out in the comments. I posted a link to it there. Where can our listeners follow you and learn more about what you're doing? All that great stuff. Like, where can they reach you?
Well, I've got the Lego Church Project Facebook page where I'm posting a lot of interesting things right now. I've been sharing the articles that have been mentioned in to bring light to some of these issues. Also, follow me on Twitter. You can find me under Lego Church Project. I'm there. I post a lot of pictures. It's so funny because Twitter is an amazing platform, but it's not really good for a batch of photos.
Yeah, that's true. But it is fun. I find that I'm spending more time on Twitter as far as social media goes than Facebook now.
Yeah, well,
So.
I spend a lot of time on Facebook as well, and I'm in the process of praying about starting a new Facebook group for Catholic creatives, who, especially if they have a disability,
Oh,
give them a
okay.
platform to possibly share their artwork, with maybe a little bit more of a smaller audience, but to at least get some of their work noticed, get people looking at it, links to their Facebook pages and stuff like that. You can find that under the Building Faith banner. Look for Building Faith and join. As I said, we're not formally launched yet, but just starting to kind of lay the framework down a little bit. And if there's enough of an interest, we'll take the group to see how far we can take the group. I've
Right.
done admin for groups before, and it can be a lot of fun. And I'd like to see if it's something that if there's enough of an interest, even if you're not widely known, come and see what we're doing.
Sure. Our guest for this program has been J.M. Kramer of the Lego Church Project, and we've been talking about transportation. You know, should the parish offer some sort of transportation to Mass? He's offered some great insights over the course of this episode, so I encourage you, if you're just tuning in, to go back and check it out. And check out the article in the comments where he goes into a little bit more depth here. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's always a great joy talking with you. And yeah, God bless you and what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
All right, God bless. Take care.
God bless.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.